Welcome, everybody, to Friends and Family Friday, where we come to continue to praise the Lord and learn about Him. Because this work that we do isn't just on Sunday. It's every day. This ministry that we do is every day. And one more day to come together in fellowship with family is always worth it to me. In this world, we have always needed God. It has never been a time that we didn't need Him. We as people, we constantly put ourselves on His level. Like, as if we created anything at all. It's impossible to be on God's level. In the Bible, it says that we can't even understand Him. Our knowledge of Him is as far as the east is to the west. We often pat ourselves on the back for what God has done for us and what He's given us the strength to do. We're so proud that we can't even give God His credit because we want to be recognized. By us being true believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior, we know where our power and help comes from. God continues to bless us in spite of ourselves. Regardless what our flesh gets us into, what our minds let us believe that we're big and bad enough to do, God continues to bless us regardless of our iniquities, our sins and transgressions. He still loves us and He still takes care of us in all that we do, regardless if we give Him credit. But as believers, we know where our help comes from. We're not so foolish to believe that we've accomplished all that we have on our own strength. It doesn't work like that. It's never worked like that. We are truly dependent on our Lord and Savior. He blesses us even when we deserve nothing. Oftentimes we try to bargain blessings from God. If you do this, I'll do that. Like when a drunk gets pulled over. God, if you get me out of this one, I'll quit drinking. Be at the bar the next day. With no license. And then the drug dealer carrying felony weight. Oh Lord, don't let them find it. God, I swear, I'll get off this block. Now notice, for him, he didn't say he would quit selling his products, just move the distribution area. People in the hospital constantly say, God, if you get me out of here, I will start going to church. It's a shame that our prayers and bargaining doesn't come with any sincerity. How should we come to God, who is always listening to the saved believer? We shouldn't have a part-time prayer life if we expect to get blessed by the Creator of all. Blessings come from prayer and obedience. And here are some examples of how to get blessed. And my first scripture comes out of Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. But I didn't go through this to find out how long it was going to take. So some of them I just said, you know what, this is the scripture, and I'll just move on from there. But in this script, Jochebed, who is Moses' mother, she was a believer in God, and so was her husband, which was a Levi. And Jochebed, which means honor of God, or God is glory. And again, she was the mother of Moses. And we know the story. She must have said a silent prayer for her son, asking God to take care of him as she put him in the basket and then in the river. Not only did God save him, he blessed her to keep being his mother through his adolescence. A powerful prayer doesn't have to be heard by anyone but God.
Amen.
We constantly think that big prayers, and myself being a long-winded prayer, it doesn't have to be like that. If you're on the job, if you're in the car, wherever you are, you can say a silent prayer to yourself. Well, not to yourself, but to God. You don't have to open your mouth and profess it in the streets. It's unnecessary. God just wants some time with you. That's all he wants. That's what we were created for, was to praise him, to bless him, to pray to him at all times. Pray without ceasing. So if you feel the need at any time, you can always go to him in prayer. Sometimes you have to open your mouth and let God know what blessing you're looking for. And this is my next script. Probably, this is another one that was big, and I was like, don't get crazy with that. But in 1 Samuel chapter 1, it speaks of Hannah. And Hannah, her husband Elkanah, had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And Peninnah happened to be just a rude little mean something, because she had all the kids by Elkanah, and Hannah was barren. And in this script, we find Hannah asking and begging God for the blessing of a child. And some of us know how that is. When you really want something, you have to be specific with your prayer. You can't just play around and say, Lord, take care of my wants and needs, because he'll take care of your needs, because your wants are just that. They're just wants. You don't need them. But she wanted this child, and she wanted him very badly because of the situation she was in. In this time, the women always wanted to give their husbands a child. It was a show of prosperity to be productive as far as children go. And the more children, the more wealthy you seem to become, and the more blessed people seeing you as. Hannah, she was true and faithful to the Lord. She was also being tortured by her husband's other wife, who had given him children. Hannah was barren and pleaded with God for a child. Her plea was heartfelt and sincere. She wasn't playing around with it. She wasn't saying, if you do or if you don't. She was pleading with our Lord and Savior. She was sincere. She asked out loud and in her heart, and God blessed her with a child. And Hannah, knowing that, you know, as she prayed up to God, she vowed that her son would serve God all of his days. And it just happened to be his name is Samuel. That was another big one. There are times where we need to beg for a blessing. Get down on your face and just beg. And in Samuel 1, that is what she did. She was begging for a child. And God heard her prayers, heard her cries, and took care of her. If we can just get there. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we think as long as we get that prayer out, you know, we don't have to beg because we're believers. Sometimes you're going to have to beg for a blessing. Ain't nothing to be ashamed about or embarrassed about. Sometimes you have to get down on your knees and beg the Lord to take care of you. And we go Seems like it's going so fast now. When I was writing it, it took forever. And now we go into 2 Kings, chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. Now, this is short, so I'll read this one because it's, to me, it was important when I found, when it came to me. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. What kind of message is that? You know, if you want to break somebody down, tell them, look, you're about to die. You need to get yourself together. This is what doctors do at the hospital all the time. And that's why people be sending up those phony prayers to God about getting me out of here. Because they just want to live a little bit longer. But they're not sincere with their prayers. It's just lip service to God. And we should never get into the routine of just saying out a prayer just to be talking. In verse 2 it says, Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying. See, he was sick. So him turning to the wall would be him getting down on his knees and begging the Lord for more time. In verse 3, it starts with that. I beseech you, I beg you, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He was for real and sincere. He just wanted a little more time to keep serving the Lord. And because they had walked together and talked together, and he did everything that he was asked to do with a good heart. There was no murmuring or complaining or why me, or you could have picked so-and-so over there. He was more than just willing. He was joyful. He was just glad to be able to serve the Lord. And when he knew his time was up on this side, it broke his heart and he was sad. And in verse 4, and it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. We got to be upright. We have to serve the Lord with gladness and with our whole heart. We can't let this flesh and our own thinking and our own understanding cloud the mission that we're on. If we want to get to heaven, we can't be fly by night. We have to be all in. And if we can't get our hearts into it, we need to sit down somewhere else. Because once, if your heart's not in it, you're just church folk. And church folk will stop other folk from getting saved. So we have to be all in. I done left my script. But I have down, Hezekiah was a servant, friend, and prayer warrior. He prayed and followed God to the fullest. When his time was almost over, he showed no shame, no embarrassment, no reluctance in begging God for more time. He was letting God know what he needed. And when God talked to Isaiah, he said, Hezekiah is the captain of my people. He ain't just King Hezekiah. He's the captain of my people, God's people, us, right here today. Hezekiah pleaded and wept. Because he wanted it so bad. God heard him and seemed fit to bless him with 15 more years. That is just a miraculous blessing. It's a complete turnaround from being on your deathbed to being able to live longer than some of the teenagers live these days. It's just miraculous. We got to get down and again, don't be embarrassed, don't be reluctant, and don't be ashamed to beg God for what you want and need, because he will hear your prayers because we are believers, because we believe in Jesus Christ, because we trust in him. He hears our prayers. He doesn't hear the sinner, because the sinner are just like those making bargains. Please do this for me, and I promise I'll stop beating my wife, and I'll stop cheating welfare or whatever. He ain't about being fake or flaky. He's about the real believer, and he hears our prayers. Now, here's another one that we all know. In Mark 5, let me get to the right one. Mark 5, 21 through 23. And this is about Jairus. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. And I'll read the scriptures right here. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him. And he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Being a ruler of the synagogue, these people didn't want anything to do with Jesus because Jesus was selling salvation for free. And the rulers of the synagogue, you would come to them with an offering, and they were making money hand over fist. And they were being well fed. They were taken care of. They were almost like the tax collector, because they would rob you blind just like anybody else. But Jairus, he risked everything when he heard Jesus was coming through. And he went and met him. And he fell down and worshiped him. He fell down. It says it right there. He fell at his feet. That is submission. He submitted to our Lord and Savior because he knew that no one around them, not in the synagogues, not in the streets, not anywhere else, could help his daughter. He knew. He had heard what Jesus was doing all over the land. And when he found out he was coming, he was on his way. He met him like the people gathered. And they met him coming off the boat. And Jairus said, came to him again, begging for the life of his daughter. He wasn't even asking for himself. To him, like us all, this was a need. He was begging for his daughter's life. And he was begging the right one. He was begging the only one. Jairus' daughter was on her deathbed. And Jairus believed Jesus was the only way. When he seen Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him. He knew this was the only way. And that's kind of what we need to understand and know. Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's no side street. There's no easy pass way to get in. Jesus is the only way. And when Jesus, he fell at his feet, while there was interruptions and his daughter died to the people, God heard him. Well, Jesus still made his way to the house and rebuked the people who were saying, leave him alone. Leave Jesus alone. Your daughter dead. It's over. You let him go and help some people that, you know, can bring some notoriety to our area so we can milk them dry. But Jesus woke her up. Jesus told her, you know, raised out his hand and woke her up from from the sleeping death. You know, all the people that were there, the people that were there, she was dead. She was gone before they even made it to the house. But when you serve a Savior like Jesus, and you know in your heart nothing is impossible, he rebuked those people. He kicked them all out the house. He said, y'all got to go. I don't need y'all non-believing, money-mooching people in here, because some of them, believe it or not, were getting paid to grieve and whine and just have a fit all over the house. Getting paid for it. I don't know if I could do that. Go to funerals and just fall out in the flow. That would be shameful. And then take money. Oh, man. Jesus rebuked him. He said, y'all get up out of this house. My apostles and the parents come to me. And they were the only witnesses of his power of raising this girl up. Now, later on, the people probably seen her, you know, go out, play. But with Jesus and God, all things are possible. But sometimes you got to beg for it. It's not easy. You got to beg. You got to let God know that you really want it, that you really want him. All the stuff that it's on this side means nothing. Car, house, whatever, jewelry means nothing. If you don't have God, it means nothing. Because you can't have enough to be better than Joe or whoever. You can never have enough on this side. But if you have God, if you have Jesus in your heart, all this means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Because when we get to heaven, all the mansions down here that we think is so big, oh, that's $20 million. In heaven, it's not worth a cent. Because it was made down here. Everything made on earth is going to perish. Our goal is to get to heaven. And it should be at all costs. Must be at all costs. So sometimes you just got to stop and beg for it. Now we go to one of Pastor's favorite. We go over to Jonah. Because I don't know what got me on the begging, but it was just there. Sometimes I can't be more adamant. Sometimes you got to beg to get blessed from the Lord. He's already willing to bless you. He just got to know that you're in it all the way. You can't be part time in this. You can't be. You have to be all in. Other times, begging is all you have to work with to get a blessing. And I'm in Jonah chapter 2, 1 through 10. I'll read it quickly because it's the way he phrases everything. It kind of spoke to me. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, because God hears the believer. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. He's in a fish at the bottom of the ocean. It doesn't matter where you are, if you are a believer of God, because he will always hear your prayers. But they have to be sincere. Verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep and in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom, to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. He was saying, all that I've gone through, I'm still going to seek you. It says that I will look again toward thy holy temple. He's still looking to God to take care of him. And he's in hell. You want a fish, you can't go nowhere. Stanky fish, you in his stomach at the bottom of the ocean. You don't even want him to belch or fart because it might be over for you. But he says to God, you gave me life. You brought me out of corruption. No telling what kind of life Jonah was living before God came and pulled him out. And that's like all of us. We all have a past. We all have stuff in the closet that we're ashamed of or don't want out. Let's not forget that God has a key. He knows all about you. And in spite of all that, he still loves us. And he still takes care of us. And he gave us a chance for redemption and salvation. He sent his son down to give us justification. So we can go up and we can beg God. We can ask him. We can beg him. It ain't got to be loud. Jochebed showed it can be quiet. Because when she was in the synagogue praying, I skipped this part. I came back to memory. When she was in the synagogue praying, she didn't pray out loud. And Eli thought she was drunk because she sent back praying in her heart. And her mouth was moving. And he was like, I got to get these drunk people up out of here. They don't pay no money. You know, she'd probably be messing up the place in a minute. And she had to tell him, look, I'm praying to the God of all. You can leave me alone. I ain't no drunk heathen. You can back up off me. I'm good. I'm talking to somebody that can help me because you ain't the one. Lord be working with me. In verse 7, it says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Basically, Jonah was saying, when I couldn't handle what you were giving me to do, you know, when I decided I was going to run from your work, the only reason you brought me out the slums, and then, you know, I just wasn't going to do it. You had to remind me where I came from. You had to punish me in this way. That way I could turn back to you. Because sometimes things happen to us in bad ways. Sometimes it's bad ways to remind us where we came from and remind us where we're going and who we trust to get us there. If you think you don't need God, you're wrong. And Jonah thought he was going to get away, you know, get one on the sly. And God was teaching him a lesson. But God still heard him when he prayed to him. In verse 8 it says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Don't think you're so great, because none of us are. We forsake the mercies that God has bestowed upon us each and every day, thinking that it's all about us. You'll never be that big, okay? You were shown mercy. That's one of the reasons that we're here tonight, because we were shown mercy from God above. Because we could be in jail, in the grave. We could be doped up somewhere. Anything could have happened to us if it wasn't for God's mercy upon us. If he hadn't pricked our hearts and got us out of the situations that we were in. We don't ever want to take his mercy for granted. In verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He's going to thank God in his situation. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He was willing to do whatever. Lord, I'm sorry for failing you over and over again. And you showed me mercy over and over again. You didn't pay me my just deserts or deserves, which was death. When he got on that boat to go the wrong way, God could have just sank it and said, you know what? I have somebody that will do the job for me and won't be running from the work. But he said, you, I chose you. And if I got to put you through something to get you to heaven, sometimes that's what happens. You just got to go through it. But God, he keeps the door open. He's way better than Motel 6. He ain't just going to leave the light on. He'll leave the door open and the windows too. However you want to get in, get in. Not just get in where you fit in. He got it. He got everything's wide open. Just trust and believe in him. He'll take care of you. And Jonah's in the great fish's belly, just letting it out. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, look, I know that you punished me. I appreciate it. Now, please hear these prayers, because this is nasty. And in verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. It's just crazy, but Jonah was in the belly of the great fish and crying, begging, and pleading with God to bless him in his disobedience. Mm-hmm. He's like, Lord, help me out. I know I'm wrong. Jonah used his poetic license in these scriptures about his suffering, because he was acting like it was over the top. In verse 10, Jonah was blessed with his freedom to do God's work. Now, not going too far, and if I'll say that for later, but in Jonah chapter 3, the begging goes viral. Because in chapter 3, it goes on about how Jonah went to Nineveh after being in the great fish to tell them about their destruction. He's in Nineveh crying out to the people. God had enough of their heathen lifestyle and was going to overthrow the city in 45 days. And Jonah was in the city every day letting them know their time was running out. And the word spread quickly through all the people and even to the king. The king heard what was going to happen. And they all knew about God and what he did for the Israelites and all that he gave them. They knew that if the God of all was coming and was tired of them, that it was over. It was a wrap. They were going to be destroyed. And there was nothing they did the only thing they knew to do. And the king told him, look, I'm the king of this. He said, give me some sackcloth. Bring me the ashes, because we are going to fast. And he had everybody fasting. Everybody was in sackcloth and ashes because they were mournful. They were on their deathbed at this time, and they had a day. We don't know the day, time, or the hour that we're going to die. The Lord sent Jonah and gave them the time, the day. It's going to happen in 45 days. It's over, y'all. And Jonah was happy about it because he ain't like them. They were part of the reason he was in the fish. So he was really mad at him. He was like, man, if it could come in 30 days, be real happy. But the king was distraught, and he ordered all the people, all of them, to fast and put on sackcloth and ashes, something that you would do in mourning. That's something that at that time, if you were mourning over loss or something, you would look like you were mourning. And it was bad. But God. They cried out unto the Lord of all, and turned from their evil ways and from violence. Because they were doing anything they were big and bad enough to do. They were just acting a fool down there. And at times I think, I got ahead of myself. Well, at times I think we need to beg God for forgiveness. Sometimes just asking ain't good enough. Sometimes that little, oh Lord, forgive me for telling so-and-so he stank. That just don't get it. Sometimes you got to get down on your hands and knees because you done said that prayer 15 times. Dude is still stinking and you know it. Sometimes you got to beg. You got to beg for that forgiveness. God was moved by the Ninevites and blessed them and forgave them. Sometimes you got to beg, and they were sincere about it. When they heard the word from God, they knew their time was up. They said, we got to go. We got to get right now. We don't have a long time. So they got it right. And, you know, Jonah was mad. He's probably still mad about that. But God had a talk with him, and it was all right. Sometimes getting a blessing comes with or from the fight you put in to get it. Please turn with me to Luke 8. Verses 42 through 48. Now, we all know the story of the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood had battled and fought with this issue for 12 years with no end in sight. She had spent all she had on physicians to no avail. Nobody could help her. No matter how far she went out, no matter how high up their status was, they couldn't take care of her issue. She had heard and seen her only way to salvation was coming through. She heard that Jesus was on his way. She said, Nobody else could help me. Not in the synagogues, not at the doctors. You know, there was no lawyer with the law that could fix this. I done did everything I could try and do, and I done paid all that I had, and I've come up with nothing. But the master of the sea was on his way. And she was willing to fight to get a blessing. The only way to be blessed out of her situation and condition she seen walking through the crowds. She fought through the crowd at the chance to be healed. She knew that if she had got caught in the city in her condition, she probably wouldn't have got thrown out. But she would have got thrown out in stone for breaking the law. Because if you had an illness, a condition, a disease, you weren't supposed to be in the city around anybody. So she risked her own life to get to Jesus. We should be like that. There should be nothing that stops us from getting to Jesus. She reached out to him, as we all need to do at all times. She reached out to Jesus, not the apostles, but Jesus. She knew the only way, and it wasn't through the apostles, it was through Jesus. Everything hinged on her trust and belief that he could heal her. And she knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was the only way. Just touching the hem of his garment freed her of her issue. She came not to see a show or see a miracle, but to be one. In verse 48, Jesus, he had already addressed her once when he asked, "Who touched me?" And even though she was fearful, she let him know what was going on. But Jesus blesses her and says, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." When you get peace from God Almighty, it's a peace that you'll never get down here. It don't matter if you got a eye comfort sleeper with the settings, with the sleep number bed, and that pillow that good old Mike is selling up out of Wisconsin or wherever. You can't get peace like this. The peace that she got from Jesus, we can't get it down here. We can get a godly peace, but as long as we're in this flesh, we are at battle. And our flesh will never let us have that good peace. We can get a good night's sleep, but it won't be that peace that you'll get from God. And the same way goes from God giving joy. If God gives you joy, nothing down here can take that away. You can give it away by acting up. But once God gives you joy, nothing can take it away. Now we're almost coming to the end. Sometimes a fight for blessing is severe and takes endurance, long suffering. If you truly want or need a blessing, you have to put your cards on the table, lace up your boots, put on your gloves, and pack a lunch. Because it ain't going to be quick. In Genesis chapter 32, our hero Jacob. This was just phenomenal how he is. But in chapter 32, verses 24 through 30, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Like I said, sometimes you got to fight for your blessing. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed." He had prevailed against a stranger. He had to know something that wasn't written in this text to wrestle with this man all night long. He had other stuff he could be doing. His family just packed up to go see his brother Esau. He sees this man, he's like, "He got what I need. And I'm going to fight to get it." Jacob had the fight of his life. Jacob knew something about the man that was not written in the scriptures. Why else would he fight and struggle with this stranger? He fought and fought until daybreak. Not a certain number of rounds, not a certain number of quarters, not a certain number of innings, no timeouts, no breaks, no chance to say uncle or mercy. This was a fight of his life, and he wasn't giving up. He put his all in it. Because he knew. And as believers, we have to have this understanding that this is not a battle. This is a war. There is no second chance. If we get it wrong down here, there's no heaven for us. There is hell. So if you don't want to be sincere in this war to get to heaven, and you don't want to be blessed while you're on this side, you ain't got to fight. You leave your gloves hung up. Put your boots back in the closet. You can sit down and have your lunch. In fact, you can make dinner, because you won't be eating in hell. There's a feast waiting for us in heaven. There's torture waiting for us in hell. There's a choice. You can either fight to be right or sit down and be wrong, because there's work to be done. We have to understand that there is no overtime. There is no extra periods. This is it. When When you punch that clock and it's your time to go, it's not written on in the calendar. It's not written on any calendar when it's your time to go. So you better be right when your ticket's punched, you better be right. So before you put your head down to sleep, you better let God know that you're on his side. Because the other side is the wrong side. You better have fought the good fight of faith. Are you like Jacob? Can you take a big hit? Can you take a low blow and keep going? Like Jacob did, wrestling through the night into the dawn? Can you fight like that? Do you have it in you to get that blessing? The man started to pull out all the stops as he seen Jacob was relentless. When it comes to serving God, we have to be relentless because there, like I said, there is no second chances. The Bible lets us know when it's our time, it's our time. But we have the path right there. He touched Jacob's thigh and sent it out of socket or out of joint. This was excruciatingly painful. Jacob's desperation made him hold on regardless of the pain. Regardless of what you're going through, you got to hold on to God. Amen. Knowing what was at stake, he fought on. At one time or another, I myself have dislocated a kneecap. Never both at the same time. Thank you, Lord. But I'll tell you what, whatever I was doing at that time, it was done. It was not getting finished anytime soon because I was hurting. And partly caused the pain, of course. And the other is that quickly I'd be landing on my butt. You lose a knee, you're going down. For Jacob and for us, the struggle is real. He fought through the night and through the pain, knowing the blessing would be worth it all. A blessing from God should bring out the beast in all of us. Let not a person or anything else stop you from getting your God-given blessing. One blessing from God can change and even save your whole family, your whole world. Just trust and believe. Amen.